Jnani vritasthana vritam tava pada padma.
Jnani vritasthana vritam tava pada padma.
Jnani vritasthana vritam tava pada padma. Dhyanat bhava jana kata shravanena vasyad. Dhyanat bhava jana kata shravanena vasyad. Sa brahmani swaha mahimni apinata mahabhut.
Sa brahmani swaha mahimni apinata
mahabhut. Sa brahmani swaha mahimani apinata mahabhut.
Sa brahmani swaha mahimani apinata mahabhut.
Kim tanta kashi lulita patatam vimanat. Kim tanta kashi lulita patatam vimanat. Ya, word to word meaning. Ya, that which. Nivritihi, bliss. Tanuvritam, of the embodied. Tava, your. Pada padma, lotus feet. Dhyanat, from meditating upon. Bhavajjana, from your intimate devotees. Kata, topics. Shravanena, by hearing. Va, or. Syat, comes into being. Sa, that bliss. Brahmani, the impersonal Brahman. Swamahimani, your own magnificence. Api, even. Natha, O Lord. Ma, never. Bhut, exists. Kim, what to speak of? To, then. Antaka asi, by the sword of death. Lulitat, being destroyed. Patatam, of those who fall down. Vimanat, from their airplanes. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Translation. My Lord, the transcendental bliss derived from meditating upon your lotus feet or hearing about your glories from pure devotees is so unlimited that it is far beyond the stage of Brahmananda, wherein one thinks himself merged in the impersonal Brahman as one with the Supreme. Since Brahmananda is also defeated by the transcendental bliss derived from devotional service, then what to speak of the temporary blissfulness of elevating oneself to the heavenly planets, which is ended by the separating sword of time? Although one may be elevated to the heavenly planets, he falls down in due course of time. Purport. The transcendental bliss derived from devotional service, primarily from Shravanam Kirtanam, hearing and chanting, cannot be compared to the happiness derived by karmis by elevating themselves to the heavenly planets, or by jnanis or yogis who enjoy oneness with the supreme impersonal Brahman. Yogis generally meditate upon the transcendental form of Vishnu, but devotees not only meditate upon him, but also engage in the direct service of the Lord. In the previous verse, we find the phrase Bhavapyaya, which refers to birth and death. The Lord can give relief from chain of birth and death. It is a misunderstanding to think, as do the monists, that when one gets relief from the process of birth and death, he merges into the Supreme Brahman. Here it is clearly said that the transcendental bliss derived from Shravanam Kirtanam by pure devotees cannot be compared to Brahmananda, or the impersonal conception of transcendental bliss derived by merging into the absolute. The position of karmis is still more degraded. Their aim is to elevate themselves to the higher planetary systems. It is said, Yanti Deva Vrata Devan. Persons who worship the demigods are elevated to the heavenly planets. Bhagavad Gita 9.25. But elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita 9.21, we find these are exhausted. They are like the modern astronauts who go to the moon. As soon as their fuel is used up, they are obliged to come back down to this earth. As the modern astronauts who go to the moon or other heavenly planets by force of jet propulsion have to come down again after exhausting their fuel, so also do those who are elevated to the heavenly planets by force of yajnas and pious activities. Antakashi lulitat. By the sword of time, one is cut from his exalted position within this material world and he comes down again. Dhruva Maharaj appreciated that the results of devotional service are far more valuable than merging into the absolute or being elevated to the heavenly planets. The words patatam vimanat are very significant. Vimana means airplane. Those who are elevated to the heavenly planets are like airplanes which drop when they run out of fuel. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sva Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guruhu Shri Uta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haripriye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, we are continuing to discuss the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj. Bhagavatam, in fact, begins with prayers where Abhimanyu's mother, she is fearful of the Brahmastra and then she offers prayer. Pahi pahi mahayogin deva deva jagatpate nanyam tvat avayam pashye etra mrityu parasparam. So, if you don't protect my dear Lord, death is very imminent to me. So the theme of prayers, starting from offering prayers in emergency situations like that, it continues. And here we see Prahlad Maharaj offering prayers after he had taken darshan of the Lord. It's described how he was drinking the darshan of the Lord through his eyes and his senses came back to life. He was so attracted to the Lord that he started touching the feet, embracing the Lord, and even kissing the feet. The prayers in general, Dhruva Maharaj prayers, can be divided into sections. The first two prayers talk about how the Lord, being the master of the senses, has his effect on the senses of a devotee. In the case of Dhruva Maharaj, he brought back the spiritual senses. So, first verse talks about that. The enlivener of senses, where the Lord is described as the enlivener of senses. How he does that is through his internal energy, Swadhamna. That's described. And after the spiritual senses come back to life, one immediately wants to engage in devotional service. Prabhupada describes that it's the same energy. What the materialists do is the same energy makes them go towards material sense objects and enjoy a particular type of rasa. And the senses further become materially contaminated and further they go down. So this is described in the first two prayers, the effect of the Lord on the senses and the effect of Lord's energy on the senses of devotees and non-devotees. The next set of two prayers describe how the Lord is the shelter of different types of devotees. In Bhagavad Gita, we get a description of different types of devotees who approach the Lord. Can anyone recollect the verse? Four types of devotees who approach the Lord. Now the kids can speak. Four types of devotees who approach the Lord. Do you remember the verse? Very good. Chaturvidha bhajante imam. So that's described. So to the jnani bhakta, who is predominantly focusing on the knowledge aspect of the Lord, he sees the Lord through the mercy of the Lord. So that's how Lord Brahma, he is able to see the Lord. And we heard that pastime earlier, how he came out of the lotus, he doesn't know what to do, and then the word came tapa, then he performed austerities, and then through the mercy of the Lord, he was able to take his darshan. One point which struck in the purport was that the more one gets engaged in devotional service, the more one gets encouragement. So your engagement is proportional to the encouragement that you get. So the more you engage, the more you get encouraged. And one never forgets how the Lord is reciprocating. So the more one is engaging, more one is encouraged, and the Lord showers the mercy. And once you receive the mercy, it is said that the devotees never forget that favor. The next set of devotees are the inquisitive ones, the Jignashu, who aspire for liberation. So the Lord is shelter for them as well. And for the distress, Artha, one who is in distress, he is a friend. So, now, Guru Maharaj here, out of humility, positions himself in the lowest category, one who asks for material gain. And that was the theme of the last verse, and Anirudha Prabhu discussed the theme of humility. So in the last verse is described how the Lord is a desire tree. Whatever you want, you can ask from Him. And those who seek liberation, also they approach the Lord. It's described as bhavapya vimokshanam. So if the Lord is the cause of liberation, then is liberation the highest goal for which we should approach the Lord? Is that the ultimate goal? One may question. So Dhruva Maharaj next clarifies that if you consider that liberation from the material existence, which is termed as Brahmananda, if you consider that as the ultimate, it's not so. Why? Because he is able to relish the transcendental bliss in seeing the Lord, and he is giving a personal experience based on his own realization upon seeing the Lord. And that's the current verse. Current verse onwards, the superiority of bhakti is brought out. This verse and the next one will talk about the superiority of bhakti. And Prabhupada, in this particular purport, he brings about the superiority of bhakti. Just as an expert salesman, what he does is, we offer this product and we have got these features, and whereas the competitors, they don't offer these features. You might have seen when you look for products in the internet, they would say, okay, my products, this is a stick and the others don't have, then XX, it's not there. So similarly, Prabhupada brings about the superiority of bhakti, comparing it with impersonal liberation and bhakti against elevation to heavenly planets. So we'll first focus on that theme of happiness derived from impersonal liberation and also happiness derived from heavenly planets. In Nectar of Devotion, Rupa Goswami has analyzed the different sources of happiness. He has divided them into three categories. One is happiness derived from material enjoyment. So whenever we start a journey, we start from where we are. If you want to go to a different destination, analyze where we are. So we are in this material world, the happiness in the material world, how is it? That's described. Then happiness derived from identifying oneself with the Supreme Brahman. So one gets frustrated in the material existence and one wants to try going to getting out of the material existence. There is a happiness in that. So that's the second level. And then happiness derived from Krishna consciousness. So that's the third one. So Rupa Goswami straight away declares that the happiness derived from devotional service is highest and it is also eternal. Because the soul is eternal, it is aspiring or it is seeking a permanent happiness. When we look at the material happiness, it is just like a drop of water for a person in a desert. It doesn't quench his thirst. So material happiness is like that. And one may think, okay, let me do yajna sacrifices, which Prabhupada mentions, acts as a fuel for you to go to heavenly planets. And then, with the usual Prabhupada's style of criticizing the scientists, he goes on to describe how, just as the astronauts are sending spaceships to moon, these have to come down once the fuel is over. In the same way, just as a person aspiring to go to heavenly planets, he does all those yajna sacrifices, he gets some pious credit. And once that's over, he has to come down. And Krishna himself gives first-hand knowledge about what's life in other planets. A Brahma Bhuvana Loka. That verse describes, you have to still come down. So then, Rupa Goswami, he brings about a clear distinction. Even Brahmananda is spiritual happiness. So one may say, okay, now material happiness is temporary, let me seek spiritual happiness. And the first level of spiritual happiness that's described is Brahmananda, which is merging into the impersonal Brahma Jyoti. So that's what Prabhupada brings out in the purport, how the monists think that once I get liberated, I'll merge into the Supreme Brahman and I'll feel happy. Rupa Goswami says that it is spiritual, but still it does not guarantee a fall down. How do we understand that? It's because at the level of Brahman, it's just like absence of material miseries. In our day-to-day life, if we are in a under scorching heat, we would like to go to a place where there is air conditioning or where it's cool. So once we go to that place, we feel a sense of relief. And then 10 minutes passes, oh nice, 15 minutes, 1 hour, 2 hours. We're starting to get, okay, is there anything else that I can do other than just sitting in this cool shade or in this AC room? And then after that, what do? We try to come out and then we again enter into the hot weather and we try to do something. Similarly, because Brahmananda gives only the sat feature is there, so eternality is there, but because the soul does not have the knowledge how to do devotional service, which is what Prabhupada brings out, that the devotee not only prays to the Lord, but he renders service to the Lord. We know how to serve the Lord. See, in that way, because it's absent in the Brahman realization, they come back again. And Prabhupada often quotes this verse, Anya Aravindaksha Vimukta Manyas. In that he emphatically repeats the point how they fall down, even though they have gone up to the Brahman level. So material happiness is ruled out. Spiritual happiness in the level of Brahmananda, that's also getting ruled out. And then another feature that's described is elevation to heavenly planets. It is so mundane that it is not even brought in the comparison at all. It is so low. That's why when we see the Bhagavatam verse which talks about the three features of the Absolute Truth, Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavaneti, we don't see people who are going to heavenly planets getting to Brahman or Paramatma or Bhagavan realization. It's not even in the picture. So, Rupa Goswami goes on to give Shastric evidence about how this, the statement that he has made, how it is backed up by Shastra. So he quotes Prahlad Maharaj's prayer to Lord Narasimhadev. This is not from Bhagavatam, but from Hari Bhakti Sudodaya. It's a very nice prayer. My dear Lord, I have repeatedly prayed unto your lotus feet that I may simply be stronger in devotional service. I simply pray that my Krishna consciousness may be strong and steady, because happiness derived out of Krishna consciousness and devotional service is so powerful that with it one can have all other perfections of religiousness, economic development, sense gratification, and even the attainment of liberation from material existence. So here Prahlad Maharaj, he categorically describes how the happiness, which is what we are discussing, is superior when one does devotional service. And if you look at the mood of prayer, he is asking Lord Narasimhadev to make himself strong and steady. So this is the prevention from fall down. Because the devotional service protects a devotee from falling down, that is why the happiness that we get from executing devotional service is also full, and it satisfies the soul. Further evidence is given from Lord Shiva's statement to Mother Sati, and he also brings out the same theme about how impersonalists don't enjoy happiness, but the pure devotees do. Having looked at other verses from other sources, let's look at how Bhagavatam itself brings about the superiority of bhakti over jnana and other fruitive activities. And fruitive activities, Bhagavatam, as you know, condemns right from the beginning. This famous verse, Naishkarmyam apyachyuta bhava varjitam, nashobate jnanam alam niranjanam, kuta punasva shashvat abhadram ishvare, nacharpitam karmayat api akaranam. So here also the same theme as what Dhruva Maharaj is saying, the concept of knowledge of the of and self-realization, and then with that of devotional service, and then fruitive activities. These three are put together, and then in a balance, it's if you weigh them, what is higher? First of all, the fruitive activities, which are naturally painful, is described that doing all those yajnas for elevating yourself to heavenly planets, the process in itself is very painful. It does not please the soul as such. You will do it as a ritual. That's why when we chant the offenses against the holy name, we say we should not be considering holy name as yet another religious ritual. So first the fruitive activities is put at the lowest level, and then one may think, okay, I can develop knowledge and I can become self-realized. Even that knowledge of self-realization, if it is not used in the Lord's service, then it is useless. So the purport, Prabhupada condemns how even Vedic literatures sometimes may lead one to allurement of heavenly planets and acquiring knowledge and all that. In fact, Sukadeva Goswami condemns how one may get sidetracked. And Sukadeva Goswami condemns even those who are aspiring to go to heavenly planets. Why does he do it? Because if you're thinking about going to heaven, that's what you're going to be thinking even at the time of death. So Parikshit Maharaj here is at the verge of death. So he is telling, please do not think about going to heavenly planets, because the way the Vedic sound is so bewildering that one may think that that's the highest goal. Even Krishna wants Veda Vada Radha Partha. So he says that one should go beyond the flowery words of Vedic knowledge. Prabhupada, in that particular purport, says that one tries to exploit this current material world first, extract some happiness from it, and one is not satisfied. Then what one does is, okay, let me go to the limits of the universe, or go to another universe or another place and try. And then he begins his cycle in the ferry. It's like going up and down. And till the time you get frustrated of that, and then you go to the, okay, is there some knowledge above this? So then you go to the yoga ladder. But even in the yoga ladder, if you come to the Ashtanga Yoga also, Bhagavatam describes how the Ashtanga Yoga process does not give happiness to the soul. It starts with all this yama, niyama, asana and all that. One may try to restrain their senses by these yoga practices, but actually one does not feel happiness at the level of soul. That's the verse, yamadibir yogapatair kama loba hato muhu. In that verse, unless one does mukunda sevaya, one does devotional service, one will not feel happiness. That happiness which other processes give is not sufficient for the soul. But the satisfaction one derives from executing devotional service, that's far beyond what the soul experiences it at lower levels, and that's when he thinks, okay, this is what is going to satisfy me. So now that we know the process of bhakti is superior, within bhakti yoga the two processes of shravanam and kirtanam are described. Prabhupada uses that in the purport, and Dhruva Maharaj also mentions about hearing the glories. Now one may doubt, will I get the same results as achieving liberation or experiencing happiness by doing all these just by hearing? Is it possible? So to clarify or to remove all those doubts, Bhagavatam many times explains how just by hearing a person can cross over the ocean of material existence. And not only that, the most important aspect of removing the unwanted things in the heart. For a struggling sadhaka, the biggest hurdle is anartha nivritti. Bhagavatam promises that by hearing process, one can cleanse the unwanted things in the heart. A nice comparison is given. When do you follow other processes, the negative things may appear to have gone out of the heart, but by a small provocation it comes back again. So if you see a cup of water with a lot of dirt, and then a chemical is added, and all the dirt settled down at the bottom, and the top, the water may seem like as if it's clear. But the moment you shake the container again, all the impurities come up. So the other processes are like adding a chemical in the water to make the dust or other impurities to settle down. Whereas the process of bhakti, it actually takes the impurities completely out. We sing this famous verse, Shunbata Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hridayantastohi Abhadrani Vidunoti Shurutsatam. The translation goes like this. Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is Paramatma, super soul, in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee. So in other processes, the responsibility of purification and all the things are with you. Whereas with the process of hearing, Shravanam, here it says, the Lord cleanses the desire for material enjoyment. And what are you meant to do? You have to have the eagerness to hear. A devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. So one does have the desire to earnestly, or the urge to hear the message of the Lord. And the Lord takes care of clearing up the anarthas. And after clearing up the anarthas, Bhagavatam goes on to describe how pure devotional service arises or sprouts up in the heart of a devotee. Yachyam vaishruyamanayam krishne paramam purushe bhaktir utpatyate pumsa soka moha vayapaha. Simply by giving oral reception to this Vedic literature, the feeling for loving devotional service to Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, sprouts up at once to extinguish the fire of lamentation, illusion and fearfulness. So this is what Dhruva Maharaj is talking about. The process of Shravanam and Kirtanam, just by doing that, I can experience more bliss than merging into Brahmananda. And the theme of meditating on the lotus feet, how does hearing help one approach the lotus feet of the Lord or even meditate on the feet of the Lord? This is another very important verse which struck me, is that just by drinking the oral reception, drinking the message of the Lord through the oral reception filled with the spoken by the pure devotees. And that's what Prabhupada mentions, you have to hear from the message of the Lord from pure devotees. So then the purification will happen. Now what this does is, it cuts the knot of desire to enjoy in this material world. And then it helps you to approach the lotus feet of the Lord. Pibanti ye bhagavata atmana satam. So pibanti is, you're starting to drink. What are you drinking? Bhagavata atmana. So satam is the devotees who are very dear to the Lord. What are they doing? They are reciting the glories of the Lord. So that is described as katamritam. And when that enters your ear holes, shravana puteshu samritam. And when that is fully filled, what it does? It purifies. What does it purify from? From the material contamination. And then the prayojana, what does it give as an end result is, you can attain the lotus feet. Saroro hantikam. It takes you near the lotus feet of the Lord. That's why when the Vrindavan Dham is described as a lotus, the message of Krishna by hearing, you can even enter into the Vrindavan Dham, which is like the described like a lotus. Punanti de vishaya vidushitaya. So vrajanti means you are entering. Vrajanti tat charana saroru hantikam. The Lord's feet is also like lotus. The Lord's abode is also like lotus. So you can approach the lotus feet of the Lord, and that's what Dhruva Maharaj is doing. And he now compares his experience, and you can even see how his own desire for heavenly planets. Because when he started off, his aim was not pure devotional service. He had material desires, but by following the process, he himself has experienced a change of heart. And he is now saying that the bliss of devotional service cannot even be compared to that of Brahmananda, what to speak of elevation to heavenly planets. Now, so far we have described how Bhakti Yoga is superior to Ashtanga Yoga, Jnana Yoga, and even going to heavenly planets. And then we saw how hearing about Krishna helps. Prabhupada in the purport talks about hearing and chanting. So the biggest difficulty I'm facing personally is to improve my chanting. And some of the steps which Dhruva Maharaj took when he was meditating kind of gave a little inspiration, and then this led me to explore few other points related to improving chanting, which was explained by His Holiness Bhakti Brihad Bhavak Maharaj when he was giving the Holy Name seminar. In Dhruva Maharaj's process, when he was doing, one place it will say that he shut all the doors of his body and then he started to meditate with one-pointed attention on the Supreme Lord. And that's what we all want to when we are trying to chant, and chanting being the most important process. We need to shut the doors and get into a safe place where you are with Radha and Krishna. Maharaj starts to describe that your journey to reaching that place where you are just with Radha and Krishna, in your case, the Holy Name, you have to go through many doors. Just before the class started, I had a tough time in keeping the kids quiet. Now, we all have kids inside us. It's described that every sense is like a kid. Maharaj describes how, as soon as you sit down to chant, the first level of disturbances will come at the level of senses. Okay, the place is too cold, the mat is too hard, I'm feeling too hot, maybe I'm feeling thirsty, maybe I should go and attend the nature's call. Because I remember when I was trying to learn mathematics from my father, whenever he asked me to sit down and do some work, homework related to mathematics, the first thing, after 10-5 minutes, I'll say, can I go to, and then I'll scratch my head, and then he say, I'll also give a reason, okay, you said you should not hold all to nature's call and all that. Okay, say, okay, get lost, go. So similarly, our senses, as soon as you sit down to chant, they will come up with a lot of requirements. I want to do this, I want to, at the level of senses, first level of disturbance comes. Maharaj says that do what is needed and then shut the door to the senses. Because our aim when we are sitting down to chant is not to meditate on the request of the senses. Then we are doing something else. Instead of Nama Kirtan, we are doing Indriya Kirtan. Whatever the Indriyas are saying, we are catering to that request. So instead of hearing the name, we are hearing to those requests. So do what is needed. If you're thirsty, have a bottle of water next to you. If you're feeling very cold, do the needful. But at the same time, don't make yourself so comfortable that you fall asleep. So do the needful and then shut that door. Okay, then go to the next level. Okay, once you think that, okay, that's done, now I can hear nicely because the senses are taken care of. Maharaj says the next level of challenge would come. This is also very closely related to what His Grace Gurujan Prabhu writes in the Japa book about how the mind will start to defend the ego. So at the level of mind, like, dislikes, or persons who have told something good about you or bad about you, happiness, distress, all that related to whichever has hurt the ego, that will be brought up, and those things will start to ring in your, at the level of mind, you will start to vibrate, and your chanting, you won't be able to hear that. Another disturbance would be that which boosts your ego. People who would have said something good about you, or you take up the roles which you are. Say, for example, if I'm going to go and preach in a program, while chanting, I'll start to think about how do I present my lecture in such a way that it is attracting the audience. Or if I'm a book distributor, I'll start imagining or coming up with strategies. How do I distribute books? What do I tell? Now what we're doing is, we are vibrating at the level of intelligence and we are starting to make plans. Even though it's related to devotional service, it is kind of boosting your ego, because you thinking that you are a good preacher, you are thinking that you are a good book distributor, whatever it may be, whatever designation you may think yourself to be. One way of shutting down the thoughts at the level of mind is to shut the door by saying, whoever has spoken against me, whatever criticism I've got, I should get more, I deserve more. So, enough, shut down. Close that door of that lamentation or worrying about the future and all that. As far as the ego boosting aspect is concerned, by the intelligence, thinking about, making plans, the best way of shutting it down is to designate yourself while chanting as a servant of this servant of the Lord. You're not a preacher, you're not a book distributor, you're not a pujari, you're not a brahmachari leader, you're not a temple president, or whatever designation you think, you know, housewife, project manager, this, that. So when we are able to put those designations away, I mean, whenever those plan-making things come, no, I'm not that, I'm a servant of Krishna, so I have to chant now. When I started applying this, the most important thing I observed is, the moment I am making plans, my chanting, my poster itself would be like going, or my eyebrows would be like this, my shoulder will all be coming up as if I'm getting to. Moment I say, okay, I'm just a servant of Krishna. So naturally you relax and you come to a position where you're not like here and doing all this. So you relax, okay, I'm a servant of Krishna. At this point, my only task is to hear Shravanam. So once you do that adjustment, what I found myself is, even physically, I'm a bit more relaxed, in the sense like, okay, I'm not this. The moment you start to, whenever you want to do some activity, what do? You roll up your sleeves and you're ready. Even though we are sitting down to chant, because we are making plans, thinking about the person, why he said that, it's like, as Kadam Kanmara says, it's like you're entering the boxing ring with your own mind. So then Shravanam will not happen. There's a fight between all these will be happening internally, although the mouth will be vibrating the mantra. It doesn't go into the ears. We are hearing something else. So to shut down the door of the mind and other things is to make sure that, okay, I'm not these designations, and shut down the door of intelligence also is that, get out of those designations. Maharaj describes, now that you have shut all the doors and now you're starting to hear the mantra and you're thinking that I am with the holy name, I am with Radha and Krishna. At that time Maharaj says, don't be complacent. Don't let your guard down. Because at that time what will happen is, in a subtle way, you'll start to think, I am with the holy name, I am with Radha and Krishna, how nicely I am chanting. Wow, so nice, people will be seeing me, and how nicely I am experiencing this. Now what happens at this point is, if we are not careful to even encourage those thoughts, when that complacency creeps in, Maharaj says that all the other doors will start opening up and you will lose the battle. Whatever doors you have shut, all those, either the senses will start to say something, you'll start to hear, or the intelligence, or any attack wouldn't happen. So even if you are at that level of just hearing, please don't let the guard down. As His Grace Bhurjan Prabhu writes, that the determination that I want to chant attentively, that thought has to flow like a breeze simultaneously as you're chanting. Like, I'm not going to get distracted. So, first we shut down those level of senses, then make yourself your situated nicely so that you are aligning your body, mind and intelligence to hear that, that alignment is there. Then you shut down all the, Maharaj calls it like a mandala, you are entering into a zone or a building with multiple doors, and then the innermost is chamber is when you are with the holy name. And that's when the effect of pure chanting, the cutting down of the knots of karma, this anatta nivritti, and all that will happen, because pure devotional service, the bliss from pure devotional service is what is equal to Brahmananda. Whenever we think, we may raise our collars and say, look what, we are bhakti yogis, we are superior man. But pure devotional service, that bliss is what is superior from Brahmananda. So if you are not doing chanting at the level of pure chanting, we won't be able to attain that. Although I am speaking all this, I have a long way to go and I am working on myself to improve my chanting. But I thought of sharing this so that devotees can benefit. So the superiority of bhakti process is there, but it will work to the extent that we apply the process purely. Otherwise, we'll also be going in the merry-go-round and we'll be hearing the different vibrations at the level of senses, mind and intelligence rather than hearing the holy name. Another powerful mechanism of cutting down or shutting the door is to, whenever we take deity darshan, to place ourselves in that favorable position. Because visualization, if that's what is more powerful to you, before you start to chant, you can visualize yourself sitting in front of the deities. After you have visited the Dham, personally I felt visualization of sitting in the Dham is helpful. Because you are using the same power of mind which takes you to different places to do things you don't want, but you can force that same mind to take you to a place that you want. Because holy place, holy Dham, okay, you're there, you're sitting in front of Prabhupada in Mayapur or Panchatattva, Radha Madhav, and you're able to chant. Devotees who are more inclined to Vrindavan, you can be in the Krishna Balaram Mandir and do that. So you're positioning yourself and you're picturing yourself there, and by that you are creating a favorable atmosphere so that you can hear nicely, that Shravanam happen. So by giving up material designations, by firmly having a determined effort that I will chant attentively, and by shutting all the doors, by positioning yourself in a favorable place, even mentally, we can get the full benefits of the hearing process. So I'll conclude there. And I'll see if there are any questions or comments or corrections related to what we spoke today. Is it related? It's not related to what we had discussed. From where did he hear? Where did Brahma hear the word tapa? From where? From the Lord. That's all I understand, from the Lord. At that time he was not able to see the Lord, but he still heard him. Where exactly was sitting? On the navel, so from the lotus stem. So if you want to know the place, that's a lotus stem and he was sitting on top of the lotus stem. And then the, yeah, he was sitting on the top of the lotus stem. Yes.
So for our life, how, like you do the training, to go from the senses to the level of intelligence, and partly to enchanting, but focus on the but it is not that easy. I mean, it is not that easy for me. I get one that is Thinking of the 70s and speaking in like sense of indication.
Okay.
Do you have like
experience of that?
Other more practical examples that can help us to achieve that level?
Firstly, I'm not at that level. So Mataji's question is, to summarize, is it okay to think about the service while chanting rather than anything? Is that the question? Actually, once Her Grace Urmila Mataji was bringing about this point, and if we are thinking about the service, is it good? And then she gave this point. Okay, we are inviting some guests, in this case Radha and Krishna, to our home, which is the heart. And then what are we doing? Instead of talking to them, we are going running about, oh, I want to get this for you, I'm making this for you, I'm making garland for you, I'm making dosa for you. But there's a time for that. Because they have come, now the activity is you converse with them. So, in that way, it is good that you are thinking about serving them, but when they are there, it's better that you spend time with them. Then it struck me that then we are treating them as a person rather than, okay, you're there, all right, okay, I'll do this for you, do that for you, I'll make my own plans and all that. I heard another explanation by Jananda Maharaj. He said it's better than thinking about other activities, other distractions. So there are different stages. If you want to treat them as a person and to do that, so then it's better to not think about it. Even I'm struggling with that. That's why, service means you are still considering yourself to be a servant, which is good. I want to do a particular service. But you may chant extra rounds and get inspiration to serve them, but not count the 16 rounds just thinking about service and thing. Another answer was Radhanath Swami was giving this. I think Radhesham Prabhu asked the same thing. He gave the example. While you're doing pujari service, will you be eating and doing the service? Because you want to save time, right? So that's why. Will you do that? So because I'm saving time, because thinking about service means I have to spend time. So chanting, I have to spend time. So okay, I'll combine both these two together. I'll do multitasking. While chanting, I'll think about service. He asks, will you be eating and will you be doing deity service? Because you're saving time, right? So Radhesham Prabhu got the point. So it's best not to, but it is probably slightly better than thinking about other things. So I'm still struggling with that. Even today morning, as soon as I sat down to chat, okay, Grace, how will I give the class? And then I had to, I'm not supposed to be thinking about all this. And then I said, I'm only services to hear and chant. It is a bit of a struggle. But these principles help us. This shutting the door, it's like in Mayapratham when Maharaj described Bhakti Brihad Bhag Maharaj, he put a diagram and then he showed. It was like a very strong impression. And a lot of them, when we apply that, the thing is, once we have the techniques, also we'll have to remember and apply them. So, in essence, it is not recommended. Do that, but we'll have to slowly come out of it. Prabhu, you want to add anything or say anything else? Yeah. I'll end here because I have two services. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Samaveta Bhaktavinda Ki Jai, Tai Gaur Premanande, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.